doing today? Good, good, good. We want to say hello to everybody in East County, North County. We were 15 minutes away from not being able to broadcast to all of you out there because of technical difficulties. We pray God hooked it up so we can actually see all. God bless y'all. How y'all doing out there? Let's give them all a big hand all over the world. Amen. We are in a series called Kingdom Come, and today we're starting our section on the devil, and it would be fitting that our computers would try to crash this morning, so when I travel around, I don't necessarily do new sermons every time I go someplace because I have so many sermons I've done at church, and the sermon that I've done more than any by 10 is the one I'm going to do today, and I probably wrote this sermon about 20 years ago, and I can't even guess how many times I spoke it. Hopefully, I don't mess it up. But one of the reason that I've said it so many times, because I think it's probably one of the most important things you ever hear about your Christian life. And so, when I heard that the computers crashed and the other campuses and online wouldn't get it, I was like, figures. But God fixed it, and we were good. Actually, our technical guys, and God fixed it. Amen. I don't want to give those guys credit up there. So let's all get on our knees, and let's get our hearts ready. If you are a visitor, welcome to the Rock. I spent all week at a conference here in San Diego with about 150 NFL players. At a conference that I've been going to for 29 years, and we baptized 40 guys Thursday night. And it was a very emotional week for me, just seeing these kids, 23, 24, 25 years old, and God do amazing things in their life, and because I was there when I was 24 years old, so I just want to share that because it's still fresh on my head. Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness, and I thank you so much for the truth, and I thank you so much for revealing truth to us so we don't have to be deceived. And I pray that people would be set free from their deception today. Holy Spirit, you have ordained us to have authority to subdue and have dominion on the earth, that we would be vessels for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, but we have been deceived out of that. We've been tricked, bamboozled, and I pray you would set us free today. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And welcome all the visitors. Whether you're here in North County, East County, online, wherever you are, God bless you. Years ago, when I first got into ministry, I went to my first speaking engagement back in Philadelphia, one of my first speaking engagements back in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Anybody from Philly? Ain't nothing brotherly love about Philly, let me tell you something. People in Philly are hardcore. Thought New York was hard. His brother's a cutthroat. So I got to Philly, and I saw in the newspaper that the devil was having a swap meet or flea market, depending on where you're from. And so I decided to go to the flea market before I went to the speaking engagement. And he was having a flea market at the Veterans Stadium where the Philadelphia Eagles used to play. And there were cars from all over the East Coast, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York, Rhode Island, all the 95 freeway, all the different freeways up there, and there was traffic for miles, and people were going to this flea market to get stuff for free, because everything was free. Cars, semi-trucks, and at the stadium, in the parking lot, there were booths all around the parking lot stadium with demons standing behind the booths, and they were giving away pornography, guns, disease, all this way, these different ways to destroy your life, and the demons were standing by just giving away. People were taking the stuff, putting it in their cars, pockets, trucks, everything. And I'm walking around watching all this. And then in the middle of the stadium, in the middle of the parking lot was the stadium, and on top of the stadium was the devil, and he was laughing. And all the doors in the stadium said, "No admittance, Satan only." So I said, "Satan, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, Miles, I'm tricking all these people. I'm destroying all their lives." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you see all that stuff I'm giving away for free. It's all designed to destroy their life. So none of it's going to bless them. They think it is, but it's going to destroy them. So I said, well, what's in the stadium? Because the doors all say that only you can go in the stadium. He said, oh, what's in the stadium is my number one weapon. Everyone say number one weapon. He said, I can't make anybody sin. I can only trick them. And every time I trick them, I use my number one weapon. So you're telling me that all these people out here, you're deceiving, and you're using this weapon on every single one of them. He says, Miles, I use this weapon on them every single day, all day. The devil can never make you do anything bad. The devil can never make you do anything bad. You choose to do something bad, but he deceives you, and he deceives you with this number one weapon. So I said to him, well, what's the weapon? He said, well, I can't tell you that. I'm not going to tell you my secret because you would be able to beat me at my own game. So I decided to read the Bible, and I know the answer to all our questions in the Bible. And so I started in the beginning, Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Genesis 3. Now, before I tell you what the devil's number one weapon is, let me tell you a couple things. Every single day. Say every day. And I would argue every minute of every day, the devil uses this weapon on you. Now, first, if you're wondering if is the story really true about the devil and the swap meet, no. Because some of y'all are like, I didn't see this on CNN. It didn't really happen. I made that story up, but it was a really good story, wasn't it? It was really good. But for reals, the devil uses a number one weapon on you every single day. Now, we'll continue our series called Kingdom Come. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Jesus said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this whole series about how do we get God's will to be on earth as it is in heaven. Perfect health, perfect peace, perfect power. God says, I want my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to be able to pray and what is in heaven to be on earth. How can we put ourselves in that position? So we learn in week one and week two that God created everything good and he gave man, made man in his image, and he gave man authority over all the earth. Today, in the next few weeks, we're going to look at how we lost that authority and how we made agreements with the devil. Matter of fact, today we're going to talk about how the devil's number one weapon, and then we're going to talk next week about the agreements that all of you have with the devil. Every single one of you. I tweeted out one day, what kind of relationship do you have with the devil? And someone said, I don't have any relationship with the devil. You are deceived. In the least, he's your enemy. That's a relationship. In the least. But I will tell you, every single one of you is a friend of the devil to some degree, that you have agreements that you are holding on to with your very life, that you are a contract with the devil against God. Every single one of you, I don't care how long you've been walking with God, myself too. And we'll talk about it next week. Today we're going to talk about the number one weapon. Why this is so critical? Because this is how the devil gets you to sin today. Okay, in chapter 3 of Genesis, context. God created the heavens and the earth. He created the man. He created fish, birds, bees. And then he said everything was good. Everyone say good. Good. And after he created everything, he said it was very good. Say very good. And then in chapter 2, he kind of recaps, God recaps how he made man and woman and how he ordained marriage between to be between the man and woman. He gave them dominion over the earth. He said, subdue the earth, be fruitful and multiply. And everything was chill. He walked with God. Man and God walked together, and they have a relationship. There was no sin, no death. Everything was good. And then comes the devil. The devil says, I want the authority you have. I want what God gave you. And he tricks him. It's number one weapon. Number one because it's his most effective. Number one because it's his first. How he deceived man. Let's look at the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Let's stop right there. It is very important for you to understand the devil is smart. I know people say, well, he's dumb, he's going to hell. He is a million times smarter than you. And that's just my number. It's probably a jillion. He is a genius because he can get you to look in the mirror at your own face and say, if I do this, it's going to hurt me, and get you to do it anyway. Every day. Every day. Cada día. He can get you to hurt the people you love every day. He's smart. He's a genius. That's why the world is messed up today. He has tricked them. And not only that, he has destroyed all these billions of lives, and nobody blames him. They blame God. That's how smart he is. That's how smart he is. You blame people. Your people are not your enemies, the devil. You don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's how he's a genius. His name is enemy, destroyer, accuser. Okay, let's look at it. It says, and the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the woman said, and he said to the woman, this is what he said to the woman, yo, girl, what's your name? How you doing? Ladies, you heard that dude before. You met that dude, haven't you? Can I get amen, ladies? You met this brother. Let me tell you something. He says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, we know in chapter 2, God did say that. He said, if you eat from that tree, you will die. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But God has said, the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, he has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you die. Oh. Now, I'm going to give Eve an A- on Bible memory because God didn't say anything about touching it, so I'm just going to dock her 5 points. But I'm going to fail Eve on practical Christianity because she was talking with the devil. Now, when I was dating my wife before we got married, I was the kind of psychotic, jealous kind of dude that would fight you in the club for looking at her. For reals. If you were looking at her, I'd be like, what's up, man? What you looking at? That's how I was. I was like little, like that. And if I went to the bathroom and came back and some guy was talking to her, you know, I'd be all psychotic. Right? And thank God I never got in a fight because, I mean, I didn't know how to fight. I mean, I'd go crazy on somebody, but, you know, I wasn't trained. But if I would go to the bathroom and some guy was talking to her, which happened all the time, that guy was not telling her what good a guy I was. Are you feeling me on this? He wasn't saying, yo, he's a good guy, you know, I know him. He was trying to get his groove on with my girlfriend. Am I telling the truth? He had no good intention on our relationship. None. When you conversate with the devil, you have to understand he has no good intention on your relationship, on your life. He doesn't have any reason to bless you. He doesn't have the desire to bless you. He doesn't have the ability to bless you like God can. He only desires to destroy you. One of his names is destroyer. One of his names is liar, murderer, father of lies, accuser. When you do something wrong, he's accusing you before God. Accusing you before other people. I was watching ESPN this morning while I was working out, and they did a piece on college fans at college basketball games heckling the opposing players, saying stuff about their mother, you know, just death threats, all this stuff. And what they did is they look on the internet of everything they can find about the person, and they find, how can we get them? The devil does the same thing on you. He does the same thing on you. And so when you have a conversation, now, by the way, you're never going to wake up in the middle of the night and the devil's going to be at the foot of your bed. Ah, hey, what's happening, Satan? How you doing? Why don't you have a seat? That's not going to happen. But anytime you start to question God, contemplate sin, you're having a conversation with the devil. And I don't mean Satan himself, but his influence, his demons. So here's Eve having this conversation. Bad things are going to happen. And then he springs on her the number one weapon. This devil's number one weapon every single day. It's in your notes. It comes in a two-part lie because he's the father of lies. Number one is verse 4. He says, the serpent said, if you do what God said don't do, you will not die. You can actually get away with sin. There are no consequences. Every time you sin, lie, lust, say gossip behind someone's back, steal, cheat, whatever, every single time, and maybe it's not every single time, but the vast majority of times, you believe that you are going to get away with it. Now, you may be that stupid person that says, I'm going to do this and get caught, and you do it anyway. But for the most part, you think, I'm gonna get away with it. He's lying to you. Think about this last time you thought something lustful in your heart, in your mind, prideful in your heart, critical in your mind. Well, they think they're this, they think they're that. You think nobody knows. And you just go on and on and on in your head, nobody knows. God knows. And he's the only one that can judge you anyway. The devil says, you're not going to suffer any consequence. By the way, you think, well, I lied yesterday, I'm still alive. No, the death that God talked about is twofold. It's death in your relationship with God, death in your joy, death in your opportunities, death in your vision, death in your hope, death in your help, death in relationships. And you all know the death that has happened in your practical life. Go on the internet and look and type in meth, M-E-T-H, mouth. M-E-T-H, meth, mouth. And you will see people with teeth gone because of drug abuse. They lost their teeth, their facial structure. Death, 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 disease, depression, broken relationships, bankruptcy, death. That's death number one. That's a warning to death number two, which is eternal separation from God in hell. Oh, he's lying to you. So when you think I can get away with it, no, you can't. And every single day, all day, you are doing stuff that you think you're getting away with, and you're not. And it's training you to actually believe you're getting away with it, so you do it more. I know people, they can't say a sentence without talking negative about somebody. They are so addicted to talking about somebody because they feel they have so compelled to pull people down. You can't pull someone down unless you are below them. At least your perception that you're below them. And your need to be above them. All that is a mind game the devil's playing on you. When God says, I already made you preeminent, why are you trying to reach for something you already have? Look at number two, verse 5. It says, for God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. The second part of the lie is that I can know good and evil and decide right and wrong on my own. I could be like God. Every time you make a decision to deny God and to do your own thing, what you are telling God is, God, I am deciding good and evil in this. You say gossip's wrong, I say it's okay. And guess what? I ain't gonna get caught every single day. Your job is not to decide good and evil on your own. Your job is simply to obey God. I was in Mexico 25 years ago with some kids, and I was a youth pastor. We used to go down there, like all the other youth groups around here, go do ministry. We went to this church, and we were there to give food and clothes to these people down there, and we had bags of shoes and bags of clothes, and I'm standing out there, it's a cold, rainy day, you know, it was misty and rainy, and it was chilly, and this little girl comes up to me, 5 years old, zapatos, zapatos, she wanted shoes, little pigtails, little skirt, no shoes, walking in the mud in the bare feet. Of course, my heart broke. I said, I got zapatos. God said, no zapatos. I said, God, you can speak Spanish. I said, he said, don't give any shoes to that girl. So I said to the girl, no zapatos. But I'm like, why can't I give the girl a little shoes? She's got no shoes. I got shoes. What's the problem? God said, don't give that girl any shoes. So I said, no zapatos. So she walks around asking other people because, you know, if she don't get it from me, she'll get it from somebody else. A few minutes later, one of our kids in the youth group gave her shoes. She walked down the hill. And I'm like, God, what was the big deal? Soon as I had that exchange with the Lord in prayer, the pastor of the church came out and said, if that girl comes back, don't give her anything. I said, why not? He said, because she's not poor. It's a scam. Her mother sends her up here with no shoes. She comes up here, gets shoes. They take them down. They come back and forth, and then they sell the shoes. She was scamming you. My job was not to know that. My job was to simply obey God. And what the devil will tell you is that, guess what? You can make up your own rules. You can decide what you do. You can decide right and wrong. You can decide who you have sex with, when you get high, how much you get high, all this stuff. You can decide it on your own. You don't need some preacher to tell you. Don't listen to me. The word of God. This is the devil uses this on you every single day. Can I get an amen? You know it all day long. And you're having these conversations with yourself, with And when I say the devil, I apparently just mean the influence of Satan. You have these conversations with yourself, justifying doing exactly what God told you not to do. And God says, I have not called you to reason and figure things out. I called you to obey me. Now, I'm not saying don't reason, but reason with my word, my logic. But when you start saying, I'm going to do what I want to do, you will die. You think about the relationships that have been broken in your life. It's because somebody did what they wanted to do. You think about the addictions you have. It's because somebody did what they wanted to do. And you believed a liar, the devil. And now he's got you in bondage. And guess what he's going to do? Because he will never let up. He will tell you another lie on how to get out of your jam, which will create another jam. Because he can't tell you truth. He can't set you free. That is not his motive. His motive is to keep you in bondage. And by the way, the devil will keep you in bondage with the same lie as long as you are a sucker to it. It's like this. It's like someone standing here with their foot out. You walk, trip, fall, hit your head on the concrete, get up, and then he tells you it's God's fault. And you, like a fool, say, yeah, God, why'd you make me trip? And then he says, come back over here. This is the devil with his leg out. Come back, get in line again. Try it again. Boom, you fall again. He does it all day long. And then he tells you, I don't exist. It's not me. I'm not even here. So you just blame people and you blame God, but you never blame him. He's a mastermind. He's a genius. There's some of you right now going, I don't believe in the devil. You're deceived. You're deceived. That's why he will have you enslaved your whole life. And by the way, one of the slickest things about the devil, and we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, is that people don't think he exists. He loves to be back here. Because if he's not there, you won't fight him. You'll fight the symptoms. Let me tell you something. You go to the doctor, and this is not about all doctors, but there is allopathic medicine in general will give you medicine for symptoms a lot of times, not the cause. You got a runny nose? I can get rid of the runny nose, but what's causing the runny nose? The devil will just mess with your symptoms, but the cause, you got to go to the root. You need Jesus Christ to take throne and authority in your heart. And you need to surrender your life to Christ, where you say, Lord, I am only going to follow you. I'm only going to obey you. I'm going to submit my life to you. I can't trust this liar because he is such a good liar. He's a master liar. The best lie is a lie with truth. And ladies, I'll talk to you. You had some guys lie to you. Oh, girl, you look so good. If you look at a guy and he tells you you look good and then he licks his lips, that's nasty, huh? Ladies, say hey if you know what I'm talking about. Hey. If a guy tells you, oh girl, you look good, and then you have to look at the whole communication here. Listen to his words, but then listen to the meaning. The devil will tell you what you want to hear to get you to do what he wants you to do so he can enslave you. And any of you who have had an addiction, I had addiction before, the devil will say, this drug will please you, and then when it ends up destroying you, it's too late. Now you are addicted to something that's destroying you, and in your heart you wish you could stop, but you are enslaved. He knew that would happen the whole time. But he lied to you, and you believed him, and you voluntarily did whatever the drug calls you to do, smoke, shoot, snort, whatever it is. You did it, and now you can't stop, and he just sits back and laughs at you. And then he says, hey, God, look at one of your peoples. They don't like you. They don't trust you. Look what it says, verse 6. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, a pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise. She took the fruit and gave to her, ate, and she also gave to her husband, and he ate. And the both of them The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They tried to cover their sin with leaves. You can't cover your sin with this.
Praise the Lord. How high? Oh, hi. Yes, I go to church.
I meet people all the time. Daily.
Hey, Pastor Miles. Hey, Pastor Miles. Hey, hi, how you doing? I said, oh, yeah, hi, how you doing? You go to Rock? Oh, yeah, I go. What service?
I thought you said you'd go.
Well, I meant to go.
Or I went 5 years ago one time online before there was internet. You can't cover your sin with a pretty smile. God sees through that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cover your sin and cleanse your sin. The devil will tell you, do what you want to do, put a nice smile on it, and you'll be okay. You can fool all the people in your world. You can't fool God. My wife and I was going to a mechanic, and this is the best mechanic we ever had. Period. Fixed our cars, was honest, told us stuff that we could have got ripped off, and he just took care of us, and he is in jail for murder. Didn't see that one coming. Thank God he was good to us. For reals. I mean, my wife would go there and say, like, we trust this guy, da, da, da. And let me tell you something. He was good to us. There's no buts about that. But he did murder one or two people. He's in prison. Verse 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God. I have a question. Can you hide from God? Okay, let me, I want you to say it loud on three, yes or no. Can you hide from God?
No.
Can you hide your intentions from God?
No.
Can you hide your thoughts from God?
No.
Then why every single day do you try? Every single day. You say stuff in your head that you know would be shameful to say before God. You do stuff would be shameful to do before God, yet you do it every day. Why? I'm going to tell you why. My wife, we have three children. My wife was in labor 12 hours with our first child, 24 hours with our second child, 49 hours with our son. His head was stuck 5 hours. Brother got a rock. And when he was born, when you were born, your head is like 30% of your weight. Babies' heads are 30% of the weight. If you ever see a baby, check out their head compared to the rest of their body. They're huge. Can you imagine if your head was 30% of your weight? You'd be in National Geographic. So my son, he's like this giant. I mean, he would walk around the house and he would cry. His forehead would be on the carpet. It would just rub it on the carpet. We would actually show movies on his forehead and get the 3D effect and have him do that. So we play hide and seek in our house, and the hide and seek in our house is that we would turn all the lights off, and then you would go hide, and then whoever's looking for you, you would have to scare them. That was the game. That other game where you go back to base, that's corny. You say, no, we're going to change the rules. So and this is when my kids are like 3 and 4 and 5, I would make them cry. They would go. So I would. My son came. Hey, dad. Let's play hide and seek. I'm like, brother, where you gonna hide? I mean, you gonna be behind the Suburban or the garage? It's the only place your head can. I mean, I know where you're gonna be. I'm gonna play hide and seek. I was like, okay. We'll play hide and seek. Y'all go hide. I'm gonna count. Okay. When you play hide and seek, you have to count like a child. You cannot count like an adult. So you have to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Then you say, here I come. Now, my son, my two daughters and my son go running through the house. I could hear my son running through the house because his head is banging on the hallway. Bam, 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 bam. And then he goes through the doorway and it, like that, because it got squeezed through. So I know exactly where he's at. So he's upstairs and he's hiding behind a little plant this thin.
He got 4 foot of skull, 4 foot of skull. His sister is hiding behind his head. And she ain't even crouching down. She's kind of dancing around, whatever, because his head is like this big. And here I can hear him going, he can't see us. So I'm down the hall. Where's Miles? Where's Kelly? And I'm down the hall, and his head is actually leaning on my leg because it's so big. But because the skin on his head is so far away from the central nervous system of his spine, he has no feeling on his head. I was telling this story once at a youth camp, and this little kid came to me literally crying. This kid came to me crying. You make fun of your son. I said, brother, I can't remember what I called him. I said, listen, fella, my son loves when I talk about his head. He used to tell me, Dad, talk about my head. He's 25 years old. He's a San Diego PD officer, so don't worry about it. He's good. So he's like, he can't see us. He can't see us. And the reason he didn't think I could see him is because he couldn't see me. When you play hide and seek with little kids and you hide, they think you're gone. They can't think abstractly. In other words, if they can't see it, it doesn't exist. When mommy leaves the room, she's gone. They'll look, where did she go? They don't know. We understand that there are things that we don't see, but they really exist. You understand there's a God that you can't see that exists. A God that knows everything about you. But the devil deceives you, think, nah, it's not true. At least for this moment. And he's not going to do anything to you. He loves you. God's love for you does not mean he won't do anything to you. That's not what it means. In matter of fact, the opposite. Because he loves you, he has to discipline you. For all y'all who got drunk last night and you're hungover right now, he had to give you a hangover just so you won't do it again. The reason you have pain, the reason you have the ability to have pain is to warn you against things not to do. Tony Dungy, Coach Tony Dungy, former Coach Tony Dungy, who's now an NFL analyst, he has a son who cannot feel pain. It's like 2 out of every 10 million or whatever people have this. He literally puts his hand in the oven to get cookies that are cooking and burns himself, burns his tongue. He feels nothing. Pain drives you back to your daddy. And so God says, I'm trying to protect you. And so what you and I do is that we believe the devil that says we're not going to suffer. We can do whatever we want. We can make the rules all on our own. We could be our own God, and we're not going to get caught. And we can actually hide from God. Look what it says next. It says, the Lord called to Adam, verse 9. It says, Adam, where are you? And he wasn't asking, what rock are you behind? He says, Adam, you did what I told you not to do. Are you any better off than before when you did it? One of the kids that went to Mexico with us, his name is Danny, redhead. I have pictures of Danny when he was like 10 in Mexico. Love God. White kid, red hair, red freckles. Actually, he wasn't white. He was clear. You can see his veins. I go to juvenile hall, I'm talking to like 40 kids and guys in juvenile hall, little gang members, and we're talking, and I just started to describe Danny, and they said, literally, in unison, they said, he's down the hall. Literally, he was in a cell down the hall, no lie. I asked they call them coaches, at least they did back then, the staff member to go get him. He walks in the room, tattoos all his whole body. He's a redhead, red-freckled Mexican. Well, he's white, but he's in the Mexican gang. Which was kind of comical to me, but that's just me. Comes up, gives me a hug, sits in the front row, broke my heart because I got pictures, 8x10 color, glossy pictures of him with a Bible in his hand. I remember he used to go to Bible study in church every week, was a man of God as a kid. And I said to Danny in front of all those other kids in the juvenile hall, I said, you remember going to Bible study? Yeah. You remember going to Mexico? Yeah. You remember doing worship? Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, Danny, are you better off now doing this than you were when you walk with God? I just want to know. Were you happier then or are you happier now? Tell me in front of everybody, because I know the answer.
I have no, and by the way, and this is what I said to him. I said, Danny, if you say you're happier now, I will never pick this book up again in my life. Where are you? Of course, you know the answer. He was happy before. That's what God said. God says, you did exactly what I told you not to do. You are doing exactly what I told you not to do. How's it working out for you? How's it working out? How's that drug thing working out for you? How's that sex before marriage thing working out for you? How's that crime stuff, that gang stuff working out for you? Ask any gang member, what's going to happen to you? I'm going to die or go to jail. Matter of fact, they're proud of it. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to die or go to jail. That is crazy. It's backwards. I'm going to die. I'm not going to live to 30. You're proud of that? You're proud of that? And you're recruiting other people to be, and you're proud of your race and your community, and you're getting other kids to do what you're going to do that's going to get you in prison or go to jail or die. That's backwards. And they do it, and they put their life on the line to die. That doesn't make any sense. The same thing all y'all do. You do stuff that's going to kill you. And God's like, I'm offering you free life. That's how smart the devil is. And the devil's laughing at you day and night. Laughing at you all day long. And he's the blame. How do you get him back? You walk with Jesus. You say, Lord, I'm going to surrender my life to Jesus Christ. You know how I get him back? Every time I stand up here and every time I share this word, I get him back. Because he ripped me off for 24 years. You got to get him back. Because he has nothing good for you. Look what it says. It says in verse 10, he says, Adam says, I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not? The only reason that you are naked, Adam, is because you did what I told you not to do. And then he said, the woman made me do it. You know, I preached this sermon 3, 4, 5, 6, 700, a million times, and this never hit me. Fellas, stop blaming women and be a man. My wife, my kids, shut up and be a man of God. And then he says, woman, what did you do? She said, well, the devil made me do it. You know what God says? All of y'all gonna pay. Because God says you can't blame it on anybody else. You're going to stand before God. He's going to ask you about your life. He don't want to hear about your daddy. Not that you can't have daddy issues, but you better deal with him. He don't want to hear about your neighborhood. Move out. Run away to a better neighborhood. Sleep on the stoop of some Beverly Hills or some nice neighborhood and say, I'm going to be homeless here, but I'm not going to let that neighborhood destroy me. Now, by the way, that neighborhood could destroy you too, by the way. So it ain't your neighborhood. Because I know kids in rich neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, everything in between, they all got the same problems. It just looks a little different. So the devil, he adapts. He's a mastermind. Matter of fact, the devil will tell you all you need is money and you'll be okay. That's a lie. And so you have the decision to make. Here's your decision. I'm not going to die for my sin. I don't need Jesus. Okay. You got a rude awakening coming at some point. Or I realize that I'm a sinner and I want Jesus in my life. I'm not letting the devil deceive me with his weapon anymore. So right now I'm going to ask all of you in all the campuses, wherever you are, bow your heads and close your eyes. And I want you to listen very carefully, because every single day you are being deceived and tricked. The devil doesn't need a new trick. This one keeps working. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. So when the devil tells you you're not going to die, he's lying to you. Because you and I know everybody dies. But you've been experiencing death in this life. Death of opportunities, death of joy, death of your health, death of your dreams and visions, death of your relationships, death of your self-image, your self-esteem. Death of your vision of God. Death of your hope in God. I can go on and on and on. The death that comes from sin is pervasive. But if you realize that Jesus Christ died for your sin and rose from the dead, and you would like to ask him to forgive you of your sin, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. If you would like to beat the devil at his own game and surrender yourself not to a lie but to truth, in the privacy of your heart, pray pray this prayer. Pray, dear God, I know you love me, and I believe that I'm a sinner. I have been deceived. The devil has tricked me. But I believe you love me, that you died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me. Please come live in my heart. I surrender my life to Jesus Christ. I don't want to serve the lies of the devil anymore. I don't want to experience death anymore. I want to walk with God. So Jesus, please forgive me. I surrender. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you understand and believe that the devil's been tricking you, deceiving you, playing you for a fool, and you want to be set free, and you're saying, I don't want to be subject to that lie anymore. I don't want to be enslaved and in bondage by that lie anymore. I want to be set free. Eyes closed, heads bowed, on all the campuses, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you, eyes closed, heads bowed, I'm going to ask you right now, if you prayed that prayer, you want to be set free, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God's deliverance in your life. Acknowledge God's deliverance from the lie in your life. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you all over.